This is the Countdown to Mickey podcast, where we take a new look and deep dive into the things we love at Walt Disney World and Disneyland. This is Michelle.
And this is Steve.
And this is the Countdown to Mickey podcast. Because of the pandemic, we've decided to postpone our next Disney trip for a year. We are typically annual pass holders and go quite a few times a year, so this was a huge change for us.
To help us get over our Disney depression, we decided to do a countdown of our favorite rides and really dive deep into our favorite attractions.
Hi, welcome back to this week's episode. We are down to number 36 on our countdown, Steve.
Yes, we are.
And what is the ride?
And the ride this week is Goofy's Sky School.
Which we have mistakenly been calling it Goofy's Fly School forever. But it's Sky School. So Disney says you soar high and learn to fly the Goofy way on this coaster-style attraction. It has to be 42 inches or taller. So Goofy Sky School is a Wild Mouse-type roller coaster manufactured by Mack Rides. Riders board a plane and navigate a crash course of flying, which features sharp turns, steep drops, and sudden stops. Goofy is pictured on billboards throughout the ride, teaching guests the step-by-step process of how to fly a plane. You go about three stories in the air, and you zip along 1,200 feet of track on a roller coaster, which was inspired by a cartoon in 1940, Goofy's Glider.
Well, the theming was inspired.
Correct, not the actual ride.
Right.
The ride was bought from a German ride manufacturer that originated this type of ride. Before we get into the history of that particular ride, Goofy's Sky School opened on February 8th, 2001 with the rest of California Adventure, and it was known as Mulholland Madness. So the attraction's name came from Mulholland Drive in LA, and it was named after a famed engineer named Mulholland.
The drive or the ride?
I'm not sure, but... I think the drive was named after the engineer, and then the ride was named after the drive. So the ride vehicles were themed to the many cars that you could find on a Southern California freeway. So the ride was not popular. Everybody said it was a cheap version, and they don't know why Disney put it in there.
It really surprises me how poorly they opened California Adventure originally.
Yeah, it seems like it's a slightly better themed carnival.
Oh, right,
it's
right,
almost right. Like carnival level with like the swings and jumping jellyfish ride.
Right,
and
right. Yeah, because I never went to California Adventure when I was younger, when it first opened. And I was in high school at that point, And looking back, it's probably a good thing I didn't go to it, because watching the documentary and seeing the rides like this one, in terms of the poor theming and the just overall experience, like I'm glad that I didn't go. And I think the Goofy theming is much better and obviously ties into Disney a lot more than
right.
Mulholland Madness. And yeah, it's just watching that documentary on the opening, seeing how it's almost the opposite of Imagineering in terms
right.
of the planning.
Let me just get a ride that's already been built and paint it and put some posters up.
Right. So, yeah, whenever you have a ride that has that, I guess, history, it is going to always be kind of that generic ride. But I think they did a good job reframing it with Goofy. Goofy's a crazy character. He obviously has lots of crazy flying cartoons that they could base it on. And so I think it was a good job making something out of that poor opening.
I actually watched the cartoon. It's about 7-8 minutes. And it's so cute. It's about Goofy learning how to fly and how he tries all these different ways to get his airplane to work that he made. And it's really cute. And I think it ties in really well. And the pier, you know, is starting to have like the swings or Mickey cartoons, or to have this based off a old Goofy cartoon.
Yeah, and I think the layout of California Adventure now is actually pretty interesting, in that the kind of the back of the park is the origins of cartoons, the origins of making these movies. And then as you move towards the front of the park, it's almost like they're getting to the newer and newer movies. And so you have Toy Story in that back on the pier. You have the Incredicoaster. You get closer, you have Cars. I think Cars probably came out before Incredibles, so that may not be right. But you're going to have the Marvel theme park out in front there too. And so it's like you're getting more and more kind of the newer cartoons, the newer movies that are being released. And it just makes the theme of the park, I think, obviously a lot more coherent than the original crazy Hollywood rides theme that they used to have.
So Mulholland Madness closed in 2010, and they refurbished it a little less than a year into July 1st, 2011. That's when they opened it as Goofy Sky School. And it was, you know, part of the series of moves to introduce Disney characters into Paradise Pier. I guess before it seemed very un-Disney-like, this park, meaning mostly carnival-like rides.
Yeah, but in terms of this particular ride, that you mentioned that Mack Rides was the one who manufactured this ride. So first of all, before we get into the Wild Mouse ride, I think it's interesting to take a look at Mack Rides and just the overall roller coaster manufacturing business.
You're gonna have to.
So it's interesting that Mack Rides is, again, one of the few roller coaster manufacturers in the world. And I took a look at the list of rides that Mack Rides currently has in operation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just pretty fascinating that they have hundreds of rides all over the world in operation, this being one of them. But it just doesn't cease to amaze me that only a few key players make pretty much every roller coaster in the world. And Mack Rides is one of them. And I think it's also interesting how these roller coaster manufacturers get started. So we've talked a lot about Aero Manufacturing and how mm-hmm. Disney hired them, how they started out as a machine shop. And so they weren't a roller coaster manufacturer until Disney basically hired them to make the Matterhorn. And that created their roller coaster business. Mack Rides, on the other hand, started out back in 1780.
Whoa!
When the founder, Paul Mack, started building carriages and stagecoaches. And so, again, a very different beginning than Aero roller coasters. And so, yeah, it's just fascinating to see how different their stories are. And so the Mack Company built wagons and caravans, and that eventually led them into the amusement industry, where they built their first wooden roller coaster in 1921. And so they had a car ride in 1936, a wooden bobsled ride in 1951. And so by the 50s, they started exporting all of their rides to the United States market. And so it's just cool to see how these different roller coaster companies get started and how their journeys lead to a roller coaster like Goofy's Sky School. And so, like you mentioned,
ride is kind of called Wild Mouse roller coaster.
It's a Mad Mouse or Crazy Mouse roller coaster. And these roller coasters are characterized by their small footprint and their small size. And they started to get popular in the mid-1990s. So throughout the 1970s, 1980s, these Wild Mouse type roller coasters basically were almost extinct. And so the 60s and 70s had a lot of wooden Wild Mouse roller coasters. And then they started to basically get taken out because of their low capacity and long lines. And so the 70s and 80s meant that there was very few of these Wild Mouse rides. But then in the 90s, they began to come back because they could be built a lot cheaper. And so with the invention of steel roller coasters, it made it so these Wild Mouse roller coasters were cheaper and easier to made and easier to maintain. And so they became very popular. And so it's just a very interesting idea, this whole idea of a Wild Mouse. Obviously, with Disney, mouse is a key, I guess, theme.
But they didn't make it mouse theme.
Right. But this whole idea that it's a very small roller coaster, small footprint, that still produces a lot of thrill. And so you only go up, like you said, you go
three stories.
But you experience a lot of acceleration, a lot of G-forces than you typically would on a roller coaster this size. And so that's why it's called that Wild Mouse. And in particular, you experience lateral G-forces. And so this is what makes these Wild Mouse rides unique and what makes Goofy Sky School so unique. And so when you go on it, you'll notice, do you remember when you ride Goofy Sky School, like where you feel the most, I guess, jerkiness when you go on the ride?
I think it takes you up pretty quickly, and then immediately you're doing this windy turn where it feels like you're going to fall off the track.
Right. And so normally when you have these type of turns, what the ride manufacturers do is they typically bank the turns. And so if you think of like on Cars or the Cars ride or
any roller coaster, really.
Any roller coaster. Whenever you have a sharp turn, the way that they usually handle that is by banking the turn, which makes it so the forces are translated through your body upwards and not sideways.
Mm-hmm.
With the Wild Mouse ride, like Goofy Sky School, there is no bank. And
yeah,
so
just
flat. You're turning flat. And so those G's are translated laterally. Now, some people don't like that at all because it's going to, again, cause you to feel the forces side by side. And that's what a lateral G-force is. So whenever you hear the term G-force, what's that saying? That's just saying that you're experiencing some magnitude of Earth's gravity. So you feel constantly, you're feeling 9.8 meters per second squared of acceleration due to gravity here on Earth. And so that G-force is just that acceleration due to gravity times your mass, and that's what creates that force. And so any magnitude of G-force, so when it says you feel something like 3 G's, you're feeling 3 times the force of gravity on the ride. And so whenever you have a quick turn like Goofy Sky School, you are changing your direction. And so that's the beauty of acceleration, is a lot of people think, oh, I'm accelerating when I go from 0 to 60 miles per hour, which is true, but you also accelerate whenever you change direction. And so velocity is a vector, and whenever you change the direction of that vector, you have to have some sort of acceleration. And so you're basically going forward, and you're turning so quickly, you go to reverse in like a second. Mm-hmm. And so that complete 180 degree is a change in your velocity vector in a second, which is a huge acceleration. And so that's why you feel those lateral G's as you're riding Goofy Sky School. And like you said, the way they design it, it almost, you look and you don't see the track when you look forward.
Right.
And so you turn so fast, it almost looks like you're going to be falling off. You're flying off.
It feels like you're going to be falling off.
And so that's an interesting design. And again, I think it fits with Goofy because Goofy's this crazy character.
He probably would change directions on the dime.
Right, and make you feel like you're falling, and Goofy is often falling, but...
Well, the cartoon, he's falling the whole time.
right. And so, I think it's a good theming, and these mouse rides, I think the reason why we ranked... Again, I'd love to hear why you ranked it so high, but one of the reasons I thought it deserved a high ranking is it gets a lot done in a short period of time, and typically the wait isn't very long. But you also get to feel like you're flying, and you get to feel kind of this thrill without like a huge buildup, without this huge weight, and you get to have a fun little ride with both lateral G's, and you do get some vertical G's as well. And so when you drop, there's a couple pretty big drops where you get to feel it in your stomach, you get to feel that acceleration, that change, and it gets some cool thrills.
What do you think the stopping does for how you experience the ride? So this ride stops weirdly, unlike most roller coasters you go on, and then it'll go to the next section.
So are you talking about the stop at the end of the roller coaster?
No, or just in general, like you'll go down like a hill and then you stop.
Well, I'm trying to think of the different sections, because you start off at top, you do the twisty sections, and then you actually have a pretty big drop. You end up like kind of in the middle of the roller coaster, so you end up on like the second floor, if you can imagine where you are. And then you do some more twists. But yeah, there are, I think, some sharper breaks, which again, you typically don't see very often in roller coasters, because you need to keep your potential energy when you get to the top of the track. You want to use all that potential energy to basically make the ride as exciting as possible. with Goofy, since it's such a small footprint, I don't think they could use all that potential energy, or else it would be too much. Like, when you're making such tight turns, if you're going too fast, you can actually increase the G so high that it becomes uncomfortable for humans. And so they probably measure exactly what people can comfortably manage, and they make sure the G stay underneath that. And so they probably have to brake during the ride so that they don't overdo the amount of G's. And so
I think it kind of fits with the whole Goofy theme. You never know if it's going to start, stop, go down, turn.
Right, right. Yeah, and the last break is sometimes surprising. It breaks so sharply.
Yeah, that one's a little painful.
Right, right. And so, again, I think it's a fun little ride, but there are some herky-jerky motions to it that can cause a little bit of uncomfortable.
Matterhorn-esque.
Right, right. But when you say the Matterhorn, I almost think it's this Goofy Sky School is more comfortable than the Matterhorn.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And even
the Matterhorn, it feels like you're, like, riding on your butt the whole time. At least this, it feels like you're in a car. It's taking some of the forces or diffusing them a little bit or something.
Right. That's a good term. You're diffusing the forces with the cushion. But I think with the main difference is the Matterhorn, like you said, those herky-jerky bumps, they happen kind of suddenly, and it's like throughout the ride, where this, like the turns, you could almost like prep for a little bit. Like, you almost know, like, okay, I'm not really going to go forward off of this.
And do you know the maximum speed of this is the same as the Matterhorn?
Interesting.
The actual number is going to be our trivia for today, but it is the same speed as the Matterhorn, the max speed in this ride.
Wow, I did not know that. And again, I think that goes to show how much you can put into one of these wild mouse rides
in such a small area.
Right, just by the configuration. And that's, to me, is super cool. What Mac has been able to design and create is almost every...
These rides are everywhere.
Right.
Did you look up the current list?
Yeah.
It's crazy. If you look up wild mouse ride on Wikipedia, I mean, scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, how many are still operational?
Right. But yeah, every support structure, because the track goes through the support structure. And I just think that's a really interesting piece of engineering that they've done to maximize the space. And I'm wondering how many iterations it took them to get to this layout. Because I'm sure,
right,
like the early versions of the Wild Mouse ride probably aren't as efficient, maybe don't take as much space, but the owner operators of amusement parks might have said, hey, we need it a little cheaper, we need it to have less
smaller
space, our people want something more exciting, and so they probably iterated on it many times to get to this
right
perfect layout that they then shipped over and over again throughout the world. And yeah, it just fascinates me that they know exactly where to put the track, how to support it so that the track can fit underneath the supports and so on and so forth. And yeah, it's just a really cool piece of engineering.
Right. Well, there's lots of versions. Do you know the Legoland version of this one? Do you remember that one?
I don't.
Okay. It's similar, but it has a bigger drop. But it's probably a bigger layout.
I do remember that one.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I do remember now that you talk about that one. Yeah, that was a bigger straight drop
right
at the end of that one. Yeah, they had a way bigger footprint than this one. Like, that was, I remember that line being longer. I remember that.
Oh, that line was terrible.
And I remember the overall footprint was a lot bigger. And I think that's one of the things, again, like, that makes Goofy special is it rarely is a super long line.
Yeah, the wait times, even on one of the worst days, is like 40 minutes. And you can get a fast pass. And the awesome thing about Goofies is, like, there's always a fast pass right now. So we always get to it sometime around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There's always a fast pass available. So you just get on, you go straight to the fast pass line, you get in. I ranked it high, I think, because it's not a lot of wait. My kids like it, and it's a little bit of a thrill without having to wait the 2 hours to get on Incredicoaster or Radiator Springs. You know, I definitely think the wait plays a huge part of it to me.
Right, and you can always tell the quality of the ride by whether or not your kids say immediately when they're done, can we ride it again?
Right.
And they usually do it with Goofy Sky School, and thankfully we can say, yeah, let's go on again because the ride's the line's not that long. Right. So sometimes we get three rides in a row and without really waiting in the line, and then we go on to somewhere else. But yeah, that's a good sign of the ride is do the kids say, can we ride again? Can we ride again? But unfortunately, we have to say no with rides like Cars and other
right,
rides.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Cars is a no-go.
Right.
Okay. So, Steve, do you have any tips for the ride?
Yes, I do. And this is something that may be a little too nerdy for many people, but...
Oh, no.
This is...
I was thinking, like, take your glasses and hat off because there's, like, a big pile of hats in the bottom of the roller coaster. But, okay, Steve, what's the nerdy tip?
Well, what I was thinking is this is a perfect ride to actually show kids what acceleration is, because so often we think of acceleration as, like I said, the 0 to 60 feeling of like speeding up, slowing down. But in this ride, you actually get to feel the lateral acceleration and the vertical acceleration really clearly. And so if you are interested, there's lots of great free physics apps out there. And I have a few of them on my phone. One is that I really like is called the Physics Toolbox. And what you do is you basically start up the app and you turn it on and you can actually have a G-force meter. And so it will actually capture on a graph, it will capture your X-axis G-force, your Y-axis G-force, and your Z-axis G-force.
What does that mean? What's X, Y, and Z mean?
So X is like if you're holding your phone, the X-axis, and what you typically do is you lay it flat on a table. The X-axis is right to left. The Y-axis is forward and back. And then the Z-axis is up and down. And so you hold that, and then you ride Goofy's Fly School, and it will actually show you how you're accelerating throughout the ride. And so you can record your G-forces, and then you can go back and look at it, and you can see how kind of high the magnitude G-forces changes on the turns, on the drops, and you can then explain that to your kids. And so that's called the Physics Toolbox. It's a free download, and it's a great visualization. And there's other toolboxes, there's other apps out there as well. There's one called PhyPhox, that's PhyPhox, and that's a physical phone experiment. And so you can, with this app, you can do acceleration without gravity, you can do it with gravity. There's gyroscopes. You can use your location, your GPS on your phone, which for a wild mouse ride, it doesn't work as well because you actually don't move that far. So the GPS doesn't pick up a ton of raw position data. But again, there's lots of cool apps that you can use. And so check out these tools. These are great tools just to bring with you to an amusement park. But a ride like Goofy Sky School
at Disneyland.
A ride like Goofy Sky School is the perfect way to feel and see some of the fundamental ideas of physics that can really help them kind of be successful in understanding how the universe works. And so most physics classes start with ideas like position, velocity, acceleration. And you can actually show your kids what those are with these tools that you can download on your phone. And so I have an Android. There might be different names of them on an iPhone, but I'm sure if you just look up Physics Toolbox or Physics Phone Sensor, you can find one on Apple, and it would be good as well. I mean, as bad as Apple phones are, at least they probably have some good apps that leverage some of the sensors on the phone. Do you know what sensor primarily is used when you're tracking all of that?
No idea.
In your phone, there is a gyroscope. And so the gyroscope actually tracks the acceleration. So every time your phone goes from vertical to horizontal, that gyroscope is what's sensing that turn and what is telling your phone to switch from horizontal to vertical. And so there's really a whole suite of sensors in your phone that can be leveraged for scientific experiments. Everything from your microphone to your camera light. There's so many different sensors that can track awesome physics topics that has been transferred into this physics toolbox. And so So yeah, check it out. There's also, if you're wondering how else you might be able to capture it, there's lots of other apps you can check out. There's a Physics Basics app that can explain it to you. If you don't know all of the ins and outs of G-force, acceleration, and motion, you can check out a Physics Basics app that kind of explains it for you. And it tells you the difference between speed and velocity, why vectors are important, talks about uniform circular motion, which basically can explain some of the acceleration on these turns that you're going to feel on Goofy Sky School. And so yeah, that's my recommendation is check out one of these.
Okay.
Check out one of these physics apps. Bring it on the ride
and
with you.
Take your hat and glasses off for normal people. Okay, so Steve, let's go over the trivia from last week. What Disney movie has a transportation system with the name People Mover on it?
Oh, I know this one.
You do?
This is one of my favorite movies.
Uh-huh.
It's a little dystopian future, but it has a great love story involved.
Okay, so what is it?
It is WALL-E.
Very good. You got it. And the trivia for this week is, what is the maximum speed of Goofy's Sky School?
So this is an important, so another add-on. What units are we going to ask for? Is it feet per second? Are we meters per second?
Miles per hour.
Oh, interesting. I was curious what they would say, what unit they would use, because I think meters per second is the international unit.
But
the
we're
SI
America.
Unit, the Scientific International. Did you know that the United States is the only one of three countries in the world that doesn't use SI units?
Wow. Yeah. I know.
And United States is also one of few countries that doesn't want to wear masks.
All right. Well, that's enough for today. Thanks for joining us. Hope you have a great week.
We hope you are all doing well, staying healthy, and enjoying your time together. And have a wonderful week. As you wish.
As you wish.
Thanks for listening. Please check us out at countdowntomickey.com. And you can follow us on socials. We're on Instagram under Countdown to Mickey. So thanks so much, and hopefully join us next time.